meetings of the high brass. And they show off their knowledge with each other. And they talk, they analyze the problems of the system to show that they are really learned technicians. Yes, they do that. But when they speak to us like we're dumbbells. They appeal to our emotional sensitivities and not to our logic. That's right. So how are they helping us? When you look at the economic state of our people, and I'm talking to all the MessJets, not Chicago, all the MessJets. When you look at the economic state of our people, our objectionable situation, because none of us are accepted, you can't help but right away see the social irrationality, the social lack of logic in our behavior. Now, how come these leaders don't address that problem? How come they don't tell our people that, look, our economic failures is because of the lack of social insight on our part? No people can climb the ladder of social esteem or social dignity without intelligence, without being investment conscious. You just can't be spend conscious. Our leaders, they talk to us in a way to make us spend conscious, to make us spend prone. Just directed towards spending. Anytime they say we need more money, they know what it suggests, more money to spend. Anytime they say the programs ought to give us more, they know what it's suggesting to the average one of us, more money to spend. Now, how come they don't talk to us and say, look, the problem is that we are wrongly oriented. We have to stop thinking about more money to spend. We're spending ourselves at the feet of other people. We're spending ourselves to a position of inferiority and dependency on other people in the society. How do they address that problem? Only when their faith is pointed at will they make a hypocritical move to save faith. I said that and I will repeat it. Yes. After the Chicago Tribune got on the problem of redlining and the black tax, then we saw the Bilalian leadership come out on the issue. We saw the Bilalian leadership come out with us saying we're spending unwisely, and I can't really knock the Johnson publication, because that Johnson publication, believe me, is a strength in the Bilalian community. Now, a lot of us don't realize that. Johnson publication is a real strength in the Bilalian community. And I'm not saying this because we own WJPC. They own WJPC. I'm not saying that because we recently got on WJPC. The record was shown long before we even had any connection with him. I put his name on the list of persons to be honored at one of our affairs. Mr. Johnson of the Johnson publication. Why I thought he should be honored? Because I told my wife, I told the sisters of the Isaiah Muhammad Foundation that this man represents real progress for our people. And this man having allowed his progress to take him away from the concerns of his people. Jet carries our concerns. Jet speaks to our needs and keep us alert to our problems. Also, the magazine that I started to mention that did an excellent job of giving us a financial picture of our situation was Ebony Magazine, also by Johnson Publication. Is that right? Yes. Dear beloved people, but again I say, those who move seem to move too late. They wait until already their sound of a new idea in the air before they express their feelings on that problem. It's a shame that a Caucasian paper had to alert us to the black tax problem. It's a shame that a Caucasian paper had to tell us that we are not getting the benefit of our dollars put in the bank. Yes, it's a shame. And look at the stir they made, because their media is big. But if Jet had come out with that before the Tribune, look what kind of suspect would have been generated in our community for black leadership. Oh, yes. You know, we are not to be criticized, because with our small means, we are out there on the case. Brothers have Bilalia News. Brothers are speaking with their tongues. Sisters have Bilalia News. Sisters are speaking with their tongues. Brothers are moving up in the system so that they can make a better contribution. Sisters are moving up in the system so they can make a contribution. Muslims have got a healthy attitude and have embraced the concerns of all America and the world. So I don't think we can be criticized. Oh, no, we can't be criticized. And we come from a long history of social reform orientation. We don't come from a history of beggars. We don't come from a history of beggars. I have to say that again, don't I? We do not come from a history of beggars. This community is known for trying to stand on its own feet. And everybody that becomes a member of this community, you should realize and recognize that dignity. Why, I'm telling you, I think I would run the hell out of a church right to here to this place. I ain't joking. I think knowing the facts of our history in this world and knowing how we have turned from racism and from ideas that wouldn't allow us to be acceptable in the world society, and how we now have embraced that consciousness that is accepted on highest land in the world society, I don't see how in the hell Christians can continue to stay in a church knowing we are here. Oh, he's knocking the church. Yes, I'm knocking the church. The church been knocking us. Church have never done anything but knocked up. A man that I embraced, a man whose hand I shook and gave him a hug like a brother, a man that I loved in my heart, a man who's very popular in the political arena, very popular in the civil rights movement. That man recently stood before an audience and tried to feed them with sentiments that will turn them against Muslims. Recently, I was invited by the president of Nigeria. I'm not saying this to sow hatred. I will never move against my people in hatred. No, indeed. I will never let these wrongs on the part of them make me turn against Bilalian brothers and sisters who are Christian. No, indeed. No, indeed. They can't affect me. No, indeed. I will continue to say, let us come together, Christians, Jews, and Muslims. I will continue to say, let all of us come together in spite of our race, in spite of our nationality. I will continue to say that and will continue to work for it with all my heart. But I have to tell you, the dogs among us. In fact, they are worse than dogs. They are greedy, insane pigs. Yes, that's what they are. They fear that to recognize Muslims will aid Muslims up the ladder of progress. And that Muslims will get a bigger share of America. And they feel that the white man is only going to give us so much share, so they have to keep Muslims out of it so they can get the bigger share. That's their fear. That's their attitude. And I'm telling you, we need to call them out and kick their asses one by one. Because they are not the enemies of Muslims, they're the enemies of all of us. I'm not going to name him because I know you'll kick his ass. I reserve that privilege for myself. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we have to understand that. Elijah Muhammad, he made us conscious of our social responsibility. That man was given a social reform program. No, not a program. He was given a social reform idea. It was not a program. Farrar, Deputy Farrar, gave him a social reform idea. And to help you to see that he was only an idea, let me call you to the core of his logic. He says, what was his idea in making the devil? Your light ain't on my feet. I got light on my feet. Now, let me back it up with another powerful truth. He said, he put emphasis on ideas, right? Then he invited us. So you all get busy and help to solve this problem. Woo! He said, let us all get busy. All of you get busy and help solve this problem. That tells us that he had not devised a plan, a strategy, a program. He had simply introduced an idea. And it was left up to us to come up with a program. And that Georgia boy, Elijah Muhammad, he looked at the mystic with his idea. And he said, hurry up and go on home. I got the picture. He was just waiting for Farrar to go on out of the scene, to get on where he wanted to go. Because Elijah had caught the picture. And he said, now, he's out of the way now. I'm going to have to reinforce my position because I'm getting ready to come down with a heavy program. Elijah Muhammad said, that wasn't Prophet Farrar. You didn't see him, I did. That wasn't Prophet Farrar. He said, that was the long-awaited Jesus. That was the Christ in the person. He said, that was God in the person. And I am his messenger. That nailed it down. Oh, with that proclamation, he position. He's established himself as the unquestionable leader. He didn't say minister. He knew you. I don't want to call you that again. He knew if he had said minister, he was called in those days supreme minister. He knew if he said supreme minister, he'd have a lot of flack, a lot of lip from other ministers. Well, hell, Elijah, you're nothing but the supreme minister. I'm a minister too. And we have right to an election. Well, we have to come up with some program to elect our supreme minister. After all, we are a body of ministers, and the minister should have a right to select their supreme minister. He knew how his people were conditioned. He knew that you came from tribal division, tribal warfare, crab in the barrel contest. And he was going to put an end to it for good. So he put an end to it for good by saying, you didn't recognize that man. That's no ordinary mortal. That was God. And Elijah is his messenger. Now all people don't hear God. Only one hears God at a time. You see, so he said he was that one. So who could argue with him? If he said we're going to do this, who could argue with him? Because God said it, you see. God said it to him. And you can't say he didn't. You ain't hear God. Only one hear God. So he got it together. And he came up with a program. He worked hard to build up followers who could financially support a program. When he felt that he had followers to financially support a program and he had enough freedom to go out and work those programs, that he wasn't persecuted anymore to the degree that he was persecuted before. You know, there was a time when they wouldn't even rent no houses, wouldn't rent no places of worship. They wouldn't do anything to us. Do you know that? Many of you don't know that. For many, many years, the followers, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his followers couldn't rent places, couldn't buy nothing. What we got was something that nobody wanted. And when we got it, we've only stayed there for a little while. Pretty soon, they stir up trouble. Somebody get on the case and have the landlord ask us to leave. That's right. Yes. Well, I remember us having meetings on 31st in what is called King Drive now. Near 31st, around 32nd maybe, in a garage, and the heat was that old pot belly, a coal stove. They would put coal in it and burn it, and it had a big old stove pipe, and when it got red, everybody was happy because that means you were getting heat. See? Yeah. I remember that. I remember those days. And the first decent place we got that we bought, you know what it was before? 43rd and Cottage Grove, off Cottage Grove, exactly. 824, right? 824 East 43rd Street. Do you know what it was used for before? He got it for a temple? A doghouse. And the brothers all got together, a team of them, just worked and worked to scrub that place, to scrub it and scrub it, to get the dogs sent out of that place. But let me tell you how divine providence works. Actually, the whole Christian society is by description a doghouse. Now, I'm not saying this, that's terrible what he said. I'm going out and tell this when I leave here. Terrible what he said. The Bible says the meat of the bread of the children is not to be given to the dogs. So if I call people dogs, the Bible did it first. Yes. Yes. And study the Bible know that the dogs were referring to people who were not born Jews. People who study, students of the Bible, know that dog in the Bible referred to people that was not born Jews. It referred to other people as are Gentiles. Now, isn't America Gentile by that Bible description? Then the people in the church, what are they? Adopted dogs. Because the Bible say that you can't come into Judaism or into that religion except you be either born Jew or by adoption. Christians come into it by adoption. This is the Bible. And I will stand on it in a court of law with my life at stake. All right? So the Christian church, see, I say things I have to prove it, don't I? I don't want you to run away with not the proof. I'm giving you proof. So the Christian church, by Bible language and by Christian authority, is a church of Gentile Christians. And according to the use of the term dog in the Bible, they are a church of adopted dogs. Now, let me show you that this is the way the culture expresses it. You saw the movie, The Omen? You saw the dogs in the basement? They represent the Christian leadership. Christian leadership. You saw when they went out to the graveyard, there were dogs watching the graveyard? Christian leadership. I'm not saying this. I'm just pointing you out what they say. I wouldn't dare call people dogs. I know you're not dogs. I don't like calling people Gentiles because you're not Gentiles. All people are human beings. But I'm showing you what they did. So, let me come back to the picture to show you that God is moving in this thing. Allah, Almighty Creator, who is one, He is moving in this that I belong to. The first place that we got of our own was a doghouse. What should that tell you Muslims? I'm not going to preach that to Christians. What should that tell you Muslims if we accept this as a sign? See, you all believe that God produced signs in the days of the prophets, but doesn't produce signs nowadays. You're crazy folks, you know that? Not really psychotic, but crazy culture-wise. You don't think culturally with sameness. You don't see the cultural continuation of life and that the same forces that have been shaping it are still shaping it. They haven't stopped. Look, the bad force and the good one. The good one is God and the bad one is the hypocrite. Those who claim to be with God but work against human beings. Look now, if that's a prophetic sign that the first house we got was a doghouse, it had to be cleaned up. It took a lot of cleaning, teamwork cleaning, to get the dog sent out of it. Let me tell you what the message is for us Muslims. Let Allah plan for al-Islam to come to the Belalian descendants of the slaves. Not that it should start with us, but that it should go out from us to all Christians of the so-called Gentile world. Because they have been duped just like we were. And in a worse way, if you really think about it. Oh, yes. They haven't suffered the cruelty, but they have been duped in a worse way. Because, you know, to pull a trick on a poor man, or to pull a trick on a small man, doesn't hurt as much as the same trick when it's pulled on a big man. So the same evil forces that pulled the trick on us pulled the trick on the Gentiles. So tell me, who got the worst? Who got the worst end of it? The Gentile, because he think he's God. He's God. And the man who pulled a trick on him says, You call yourself dog. You call yourself God. I know you're dog. So I give you G-O-D, spell it backwards, and you know who you are.
Followers were the most obedient.
So we were best in our obedience even then. But he wasn't talking about only in obedience. He was talking about in mind and intellect and whole life. But he was speaking to the future. He said that he came to put you on top. Isn't that what he said? Now, let me again. Now, I know some of you would like to put me in trouble. But believe me, you can't put me in trouble. Now, let us look at this again. He said, he came to put you on top. He didn't say, Farad Muhammad came to put you on top.